We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer before resuming our study. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful to you for yet another opportunity to continue our pursuit of truth. It is our prayer that as we provide the positive volition, that the Holy Spirit will instruct us. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We left off on page 167. And we want to note initially that in the study, The Way to Santa Fe, we learned about the blazing of wheel tracks by the continuous repetition of wagon wheels over the course of the trail. The more repetitions by the various trains, the deeper the wheel tracks became. Wagon masters of subsequent trains knew the best, quickest, and sometimes safest way to get to Santa Fe was just by repeating what others had already done. This sequence of events may be illustrated by the verb facilitate, translated or defined, to make easier. And then there's the noun facilitation. First of all, the act or action of facilitating, noting the facilitation of effective learning. Secondly, physiology, the lowering of the threshold for propagation of a neuron's action potential. And secondly, the enhancement of a neuron to a stimulus due to prior repeated stimulation. Don't turn the page. Some of you may not have been here during the study of The Way to Santa Fe. But that's where we develop wheel tracks of righteousness and wheel tracks of wickedness. And when you study neurology, you find out that there are things in your brain by the millions that capture information and retain it there for recall and application. And there are neural pathways, and there are ways by which what you learn systematically over time is enlarged and becomes a path of least resistance. In other words, you've memorized something, and you can recall it, and you can make application from that. And so we did a study of neurology so that you could understand that when you learn Bible doctrine, and if you're able to retain it, it must be retained in your brain. And the brain has the capacity to capture, retain, facilitate, and apply all that you want to feed it. It doesn't have a max out position. You can continue to accrue information over time, enlarge your inventory, and therefore become more proficient in not only living your life, but with regard to theology, using that information to make good decisions from a position of strength. Facilitation is the process that goes on in Bible class, in personal Bible study, whether it's electronic contrivances or whatever. The more you learn about a given idea, a principle, a doctrine, then you're going to aggrandize the recall capacity for that idea or set of principles. That's called facilitation. And so when you facilitate something, it means you're making it more efficient, it is enlarging, and therefore it is becoming something that is a part of you and available for application. Now you can go to 168. These are the neurological definitions of how information is received in the nous. And I want to put this diagram up here where I've highlighted some of these terms. And you're well familiar with Operation Z or GAP. But we do want to note the five things that are noted here. The nous, the cardia, gnosis, epinosis, and trachea. This is a graph or a visual that demonstrates how you accumulate information, how you, with your volition, decide, yes, I understand that, and I believe it. So that the information coming in is gnosis, that's just common grace, that's just information, data. And when the data can be Bible doctrine, it can be anything else that you want to retain. So this is a consideration area. And so you have academic understanding and volition, has to either reject what you hear or concur with what you hear. Now, this is structured around the inculcation of biblical principles. So the positive and negative volition has to do with agreeing with what you've heard or disagreeing with what you've heard from a pulpit or electronic contrivance. And so the noose here is where you consider this or you contradict it. If you concur, that's positive volition, and the Holy Spirit moves that to the cardia. That's where things are permanently retained for recall and application. And so this is cognition under epinosis. And then when you, from this particular inventory, this right here, you apply it, that's called compliance, and that creates a wheel track of righteousness. In other words, a neural pathway of a biblical concept that's in long-term memory that you can recall and apply. That's what this cerebral cortex long-term memory. So the soul has to coordinate with your brain. If I were to have a doctor come in here, maybe I could get Weldon to do this. If someone volunteered to have him just cut your skull open and take your brain out. And then we start asking you questions. And if you can answer the questions, then I'm just going to shoot my experiment to kaput. But the brain has to coordinate with the soul and vice versa. And then once you do this enough times and you have confidence in making that application consistently over time. So I want to go through point 30 and then 31 and then 32 and then we'll go to Santa Fe. These are the neurological definitions of how information is received in the noose, retained, recalled, and applied from the cardia. In other words, the process of learning information, enhancing, in other words, facilitating that information. And facilitation is the word, and having it available for recall and application to life and circumstances. Now, back in September of 1996, I don't know if I can do the math on that, but I think you take 19 and add 4, so like 23 years ago. Anyone? I did math. Back in 1996, we undertook a study, Do You Know the Way to Santa Fe? And therefore, Wheel Tracks Illustrated. The pioneers' journeys from Kansas City to Santa Fe served as an overt example of the system of facilitating information in the soul as a path of least resistance. Whatever you do physically, you can enhance. When you decide to take up a sport, let's take up golf. The ball doesn't move. That's a good thing. And these other sports like football and baseball and that thing they call soccer is constantly moving around. You know, you have to go find it and then do something with it. But the golf ball is just sitting on the ground in a tee. And then your job is to take a club and cold cock it. The problem with that is you don't have muscle memory. And I know this is true because I didn't play golf at one time. And so I would stand on the tee, and I could hit a ball off the tee. It would just blast way down the fairway. Then I had to go hit it again. And that's where things went really wrong. So if you hit a golf ball, if you don't have the muscle memory and you just get it cocksided just a tad, it's going to slice off to the right. Or just a tad this way, it's going to hook. But it's not going to be in the mowed grass. It's going to be in the high grass. And I lived my life playing golf in the high grass, mostly. And then when you get on the green, which is perfectly mowed and ought to go where you tell it to go, it doesn't. So golf is a very, very difficult sport to play. How is it that people learn how to play golf efficiently and can actually hit that down the fairway and do the couple of three shots and get on the green and then putt and it goes in the hole? How do they do that? Muscle memory. And you do it long enough, the muscles are so honed that they're able to perform no matter where you are on the golf course. And you know exactly what to do. And then if you watch these guys that play golf on TV, These guys are doing that because they have muscle memory that they've constructed from their neurons over a long period of time. And you can do that till you get to be about 40-some-odd, and then you hit the senior circuit. So some of you, by the way, have been here a good long while. You may be in the senior circuit of Bible doctrine. But the senior circuit in doctrine has to do with an enlarged inventory of ideas so that you have, anyone, wisdom. How do you get wisdom? Information comes in, you vote for it, yes, I believe that, it goes to the cardia, you facilitate it there, it enlarges into a path of least resistance, that's where you go under a given circumstance to apply to life and circumstances. So what follows are some principles on this idea that we will then apply to the mental exercise associated with James's use of the horse, which he uses to illustrate the taming of the body with specific emphasis on the organ of the tongue. I don't know if there are exercises for the tongue. You can pump iron, you know, try to build up your arms, or you can push on things and try and build up your legs and so on it goes. And you can go to a place and it'll tell you how to do all that stuff. I get a lot of exercise crossing my legs on a chair. That's my exercise. But you can really work out. I think Timmy works out every day until he blows something out. And then he goes on the DL for a while and then he gets right back with it. So these are the kinds of things you can do with your body. But with the soul, it's a different thing. Anybody can do this. You can be in. I gave this example years ago and I was told by Joe Henry, nobody knows what you're talking about. You see, you can't use that example anymore. Well, you know what my example was? An iron lung. Anyone? About people that have to work their way into heavens. And I gave the example of a person in an iron lung. If you don't know what that is, look it up. And an iron lung. All this, you are in a tank, and the only thing poking out is your head. And you use your head, and you got a mirror, and you can see whatever's behind you, but that's it. And then there's a TV going on. I always use Billy Graham. Billy Graham's on TV, and he gives the gospel. And this person in an iron lung, he can't move. Yet he believes in Christ, and he gets to go to heaven when he dies. So I use the iron lung example of how faith alone and Christ alone is how you get saved. You don't do anything. We're going to study the horse, and the horse initially is going to give us an example of the tongue. And people do exercise their tongues. If it were not true, that would not be a good example here. Do you know the way to Santa Fe? Paragraph A, Kansas City to Santa Fe, illustration of laying wheel tracks of righteousness. Now, why are we doing this? Because I want you to go back, if you were here, to go back to the Santa Fe Trail study just for a little while with me. And let's go through the process of developing an inventory of ideas over time through the process of facilitation. And what we did, and let me back up here, right here it says trachea. And when you go to the Greek on trachea, the translation is wheel tracks. And the wheel tracks can be of righteousness or it can be something quite different, like the devil's world. And so our job is to facilitate, that's wheel tracks, the more the wheels roll over the prairie, and another wagon comes by, and another wagon comes by, you're facilitating the depth of those two wheel tracks. So that after you've gone to Santa Fe, other people at Kansas City decide they're going to go too, and they go out there in Kansas, and they find those wheel tracks and they know exactly where to go because the wheel tracks have been facilitated. When you take in the Word of God and it's a piece of information you did not know before, but you bought into it, yes, I believe that, then it goes into the cardia and it is available for recall. You may choose not to recall that, but if you do, I remember hearing this in Bible class, I think I'll try that out. and then you see that it works. That was a good idea. So then that means next time that opportunity arises, you go and withdraw that piece of information from your inventory of ideas and you apply it. And that's facilitation of wheel tracks of righteousness. That's where we're going with this. Point one. Without knowledge of the Word of God, there's not much of an inner conflict in the believer's soul. Inner conflict. Okay. There's inner conflict, but it has to do with the devil's world. Lack of divine thought means no inventory of divine viewpoint available to challenge the temptations of the sin nature or the devil's world. And so you're a victim of your environment. Everyone who's an unbeliever is a victim of their environment, which happens to be the devil's world. And there's nothing they can do about it. They can go to all of these little thought deals where people sit around and hum, all of that business. You can go to university and major in humming and get a degree and then teach other people how to hum. But nobody makes an advance. They just hum themselves, probably into oblivion. God's principles in the soul eventuate in the believer fulfilling God's plan for his life, as well as acquiring the capacity for blessings both in time and in eternity. So facilitation is what's going to be the undercurrent to this study. The odyssey undertaken by the believer between the moment of salvation and his physical death involves a journey through the minefield of human experience. Now, we have the human experience every day. How do you manage? How do you approach situations that come from the devil's world, which is every day, all day long? Can you manage the incoming flak? Does anything upset you? Do you not know how to handle this? I don't know how to handle that, Margaret. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Yes, you do if you have an inventory and you know what the truth is. So it takes time. He cannot make the advance from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity without the capability to make good decisions from a position of strength. What's the position of strength? Filling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will recall from your inventory that you need to know for application. If you've just started out, it's pretty weak. Weak in the sense there's not much there. You keep coming back to Bible class. If you want to go out for like golf and you go out the first day and you shank everything and the golf coach says, well, you did pretty good a couple of times. We need to facilitate that. And you go home and you tell your wife or your parents or whoever, you say, I'm not going to be good at golf. First day out, they're not going to be good. Ask some of these guys on the PGA Tour, were you good the first day out? And they'll laugh, howl in laughter. No, I was horrible. He cannot make the advance from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity without the capability to make good decisions from a position of strength and the capacity to solve his problems from an inventory of divine truth. That's why you have to come to boring Bible classes. You have to systematically, incrementally, gather the information and the Holy Spirit sorts it out in 11 categories of systematic theology. And you become a theologian after a while. The Way to Santa Fe is designed to illustrate the challenges for a believer heading off into the unknown. Armed only with what he knows in his soul plus the objective he wishes to achieve. When you leave Kansas City, where are you going to go? I want to go to Santa Fe. How do I get there? I don't know. I'm just heading out. I know it's southwesterly. That's all I know. And I'm going to head out. I'm going to join a wagon train. And we're going to head out and see what happens. There have been those who have scouted it and given you some general idea of where you can go and how you can do it. You can take the mountain route, that's through Bent's Fort, or you can take the Jornada, go through the desert of Oklahoma and Texas and New Mexico. You can do it that way, but there's no water. So the horses need water. The oxen need water. And the mules need water. All these animals have to have water, including yourself. What if there's no water? Are you ready to go into the Jornada knowing there's no water, but it's a shortcut and you can get there sooner? People had to make that decision. You have to make decisions. Am I going to apply this doctrine right here or this doctrine right here? What am I going to do? And the Holy Spirit, of course, is involved in your decision making. Got to draw from the inventory you got. He cannot make the advance from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity without the capability to make good decisions from a position of strength and the capacity to solve his problems from an inventory of divine truth. The way to Santa Fe is designed to illustrate the challenges for a believer heading off into the unknown, armed only with what he knows in his soul plus the objective he wishes to achieve. Now, one of the earliest attempts to go to Santa Fe was made by George Champlin Sibley, a Missouri frontiersman who headed the government's team of surveyors charged to blaze a Santa Fe trail. Sibley and his crew knew the mechanics of how to get there, but when they left Fort Osage, Missouri, now a historic site in Jackson County east of Kansas City, his crew only knew that they were headed for Santa Fe. Let me show you a map. This is the best I could do off the whole internet. They want to show Kansas as the starting place, and it's not. The starting place was St. Louis, actually. And you go down the Missouri River, and there are places like Arrow Rock. You can go to Arrow Rock, and you can visit some of these areas that we're talking about there. And then they kept moving it westward, and Sibley actually was based at Fort Osage, and he started his trek there. Then you get over here to Westport, right there, and that is Kansas City now, but it wasn't then. Then you head out in a southwesterly direction. Now, when you do that, you're leaving Westport. That's on the Missouri River. That's Kansas City. And you get to a place called Council Grove. We'll talk about that shortly. That's where everybody gathered in order to determine the process and procedure of what they were about to engage. And then you get down to Fort Dodge. And at Fort Dodge, you regroup there. And that is where you had to make a decision as to whether you were going to go the mountain route or if you're going to go the Jornada. And so it's also called the Cimarron Cutoff. And this is the Cimarron River here. And so Fort Dodge is on the Arkansas River, not Arkansas. That's just the state is Arkansas. The river is Arkansas. It comes out of Colorado. And so the Arkansas River is Fort Dodge. And then you can go south and hit the Cimarron and keep going. See, they follow the Arkansas all the way up to Bent's Fort and then hook southwest on the mountain branch or mountain route, and it takes you down to Wagon Mound and Fort Union, and then you'd have to do a U-turn to get to Santa Fe because of the mountains. This area here, when you leave the Arkansas River and head down into the panhandle of Oklahoma and extreme northwest Texas along in here, this is the Cimarron Cutoff of what the Mexicans call the Jornada. And that's the trail of death is what that means. Because if you go that route, there's no water. And you have arroyos that'll have water, but they can kill you. Here's how. Arroyo means it's a ditch in the terra firma. And when the snow melts or big rains happen in the mountains, then the water melts or it rushes down through the arroyos and suddenly arrives in places like the Jornada. And so you can be crossing one of these dry crevices in the ground, and suddenly walls of water are coming, and it just crashes into anything that's there and destroys the entire wagon train that happens to be in the way. And so there's dangers involved other than the fact that you have all of this sand everywhere and no rain. But you can get water, you can get it in a hurry, and you get more than you want. So you will get over here to Fort Union quicker, provided you live long enough. So you got to make decisions, you see. And so when you are planning whatever it is you want to do, you need to take in information about how is the best way for me to accomplish this objective. I can do A, it'll take a little longer, but I think I know the way better that way, and although it may take a little longer, I think I'll just choose the easy route. But if I can get my products to Santa Fe before anybody else does, I'll get the best price. I'm willing to take a chance on the Hornada. Got that? Where'd I leave off, Henry? 6 or 7. There you go. Oh, I'll do 7 again. That's good. Sibley and his crew knew the mechanics of how to get there, but when they left Fort Osage, Missouri, now a historic site in case you want to go at Fort Jackson, east of Kansas City, his crew only knew they were headed for Santa Fe. They knew the mechanics of how to get there. But when they left Fort Osage, they had no idea of precisely what route they would travel. See that? So when you head out, I know where I'm going, I just know how to get there for sure. If we use their journey as an illustration of the Christian walk and designate their arrival in Santa Fe as the attainment of spiritual maturity, then a question emerges. If we are to complete a successful mission, do you know the way to Santa Fe? And every day when you get up, you've got to know where to go, how to get there, and what you do when you get there, and what you do in the process. When you get out of bed, how are you going to get where you want to go that day? And you're not prophets either. You don't know what's going to engage you during the day, what circumstances will arise. And when they do, can you orient and adjust? Or are you buffaloed by it and complain about, I can't get anything done because of this and that. Well, the this and that's are out there, like an arroyo full of water. Do you know the way to Santa Fe? Whenever you enter into an adventure which takes you into the unknown, you are ill-advised to begin your journey without knowing what you are doing. What did they know to take with them when they left Kansas City? Well, they're going to have to be products. And the products have to be put in wagons called Conestogas. Let's see if I got Conestoga. Oh, we'll run into these guys later. But I want you to see a Conestoga. Oh, dead gum. There. And this is not really a very good picture, but it shows oxen pulling. If you see horses, that's not happening. The horses can't do this. The horses are ridden by the guys on riding along by the wagon train. But the oxen are much better than horses, and mules are better than oxen. And so we're showing oxen here in that picture. Anyhow, all your stuff is in there. These are the products. Now, some people are going out there, like maybe I think I'll live in Santa Fe. But primarily what people are doing is taking stuff right here that they're going to sell in Santa Fe to the Mexicans. Because New Mexico is not new at that point. It's Mexico. And they're going to Santa Fe. And we'll find out a little later that Santa Fe is an excellent market because of some political events that occurred. And so if you can get your products to Santa Fe, the Mexicans will buy them and pay a good price for them. So I need to get back to where I was. But the Conestogas were made in Pittsburgh, by the way. Which Spanish dragoons. Sort of sissy looking little outfits, I think. There. That shows you how they get to Kansas City, and then this is how you get to this is called the Cimarron Cutoff right here on our Kansas River. You take that route, that's the Hornada. Up here it's easy but mountainous, and so there's problems there. When you get to Bent's Fort, you reorient, adjust, because you're going to head through the mountain route, and the mountain route's going to take you through the Raton Pass. That's almost 8,000 feet above sea level, and you've got to get your wagons through that. Then you get down to Fort Union and regroup. Then this little hook here gets you to Santa Fe. Whenever you enter into an adventure which takes you into the unknown, you're ill-advised to begin your journey without knowing what you're doing. In order to get where you're going, you must understand principles of survival, the potentiality of attack, the source of logistics, and be willing to orient and adjust to constantly changing circumstances. You do that every day you get up. You're just not on the Santa Fe Trail. It's whatever you do every day. But do you have any inkling of what confronts you every day when you get up and leave the house? You don't. But you have the doctrine to orient and adjust to it. You must not start out ignorant, run into problems, and hope to endure without any means of survival, self-defense, or mental flexibility. Tragically, most believers go nowhere after salvation. When they leave the house in the morning, they're saved and go to heaven when they die, but they have no internal inventory to decide how to manage the exigencies they'll face. And so they start sinning. That's what they do. There's nothing else to do but sin. Although they spend their lives trying to get to Santa Fe, they never get much past Kansas City. And historically speaking, in light of the city's early reputation, certainly not past Dodge City. Arrival at one's spiritual Santa Fe demands knowledge of Bible doctrine in order to combat the attacks by the sin nature and by the devil's world. So you're assaulted from both fronts. You got the sin nature going on, and the devil's world is out there waiting. And you have to have an inventory to manage assaults from both fronts. And if you don't have the inventory, you're going to use human viewpoint. And when human viewpoint is motivated by the sin nature, you got a double problem. And the battleground is the soul. And the battle is won by means of the two power options. First of all, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit post-rebound. And secondly, the availability of facilitated doctrines in the soul stream of consciousness. And so it's interesting to ask the question, yes, people may understand about rebound, although not many apparently do. But the second one is the availability of facilitated doctrines. These are wheel tracks of righteousness in the soul stream of consciousness. In other words, they're avenues, they're trails, they're highways in the neural pathways of the brain that contain powerful information from the Word of God that is aletheia, that God is going to provide for you on recall that you can apply and count on or not. If you don't have it, it's not there. If on your journey you have to constantly ask what to do next, then your spiritual life will become an anfractuous journey of confusion, frustration, and failure. The advance to spiritual maturity can only be accomplished under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, utilizing facilitated doctrine in your soul. Under pressure, if it's not facilitated, the tendency is to go to human viewpoint, which is facilitated. So facilitation means hearing the same doctrine over and over and over. Different context, different Bible study, different application with regard to where you are in the Bible. Now, the believer who delights in applying the doctrinal inventory in his soul is able to do so when that person is under pressure. Can you think under pressure? With a clear head to innovate in the face of changing circumstances while restraining the inner temptation of the sin nature to opt for a human viewpoint results in maintaining personal integrity to stay focused on biblical rationales. And so there's a battle that goes on in the soul. I think I'll use human viewpoint here, but oh wait, I may have a doctrine to apply that will be much better. So facilitated wheel tracks of righteousness in the soul enable the believer to opt for the working objects of the Word of God, the working objects of the Word of God. That's where you place your faith. Faith has to have an object. It's transitive. Don't let anyone tell you, oh, I have faith. No, you don't. If you don't know, what's your faith placed in? What is the working object? Is it your mentality? The fact you've got a PhD? The fact that you do this, that, or the other thing and people respect? None of that works. The working object is the power of the Word of God alone. Or establishment viewpoint, of course. That has to be figured in. So to get to Santa Fe, the believer must adjust to God's agenda by means of executing simultaneous objectives. First of all, the ultimate objective is arrival at spiritual maturity, or Santa Fe. Secondly, the immediate objective of getting from one checkpoint to the next, in other words, from point A to point B on the trail. The biggest obstacle on the trip is the enemy within, the sin nature, which offers unrelenting opposition every step of the way. All opposition has one purpose in mind: keep you from reaching your stated objective. The objective of the sin nature is to prevent you from either learning about your logistics and problem-solving devices or neutralizing your ability to utilize what you know. Now we'll have some examples. William Bucknell, Blazing the Way to Santa Fe. And we'll take that up on Wednesday evening. Father, we're grateful to you for the power of your word. The power that if we possess in our souls and facilitate it there through Bible study, we have the ability to recall the power of your immutable word into our life and its circumstances. This is the ultimate problem-solving device. Encourage us and motivate us to pursue that objective. And we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ our Savior. Kares human kai reine, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.